are listening to The Addiction Files, where we discuss evidence-based treatment, clinical pearls, and resources while striving to destigmatize the treatment of addiction in our medical culture and save lives. We are the addiction doctors, Dr. Darlene Peterson and Paula Cook.
Welcome to The Addiction Files. We are talking about novel uses of varenicline, and particularly using it for alcohol use disorders and some of the research regarding varenicline and stimulant use disorders. And we'll discuss the mechanism of action of varenicline and some of the studies that talk about the use of it in alcohol use disorders and the studies with and stimulant use disorders. So Paula, start us out talking about some of the mechanism of action. How does varenicline work, and why would we even consider it for alcohol use disorders or any other substance use disorders besides what we already know it for with tobacco use disorders?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, we certainly know what the mechanism of action is. I'm not sure if we really understand its mechanism when it comes to other substances, but in terms of its mechanism on nicotinic receptors, varenicline is a nicotinic receptor partial agonist at the alpha 4 beta 2 receptor. So that's a nicotinic receptor. And it works actually very similarly, if you think about it, to the way buprenorphine works. So it's a partial agonist at this receptor. It binds with high affinity and it blocks the effect of nicotine if someone is smoking, so occupies that receptor, but it also tricks the receptor into thinking it's occupied and therefore helps with withdrawal. So us in addiction medicine, we're very familiar with this kind of mechanism because of buprenorphine, and we can feel confident in how this works, and indeed it is effective. So nicotine in and of itself, as we all know, is a very powerful drug. It acts on dopaminergic receptors in the VTA, in the ventral tegmental area of the brain. Neurons which fire in that part of the brain are mediated by dopamine and then, you know, extend into other areas of the brain like the prefrontal cortex and the amygdala. And this is why nicotine is so rewarding, right? We have stimulation of this mesolimbic dopamine system and tolerance, and then we have, you know, tolerance and increased reward with ongoing use. And so varenicline comes in, sits on this subtype of nicotinic acetylcholine receptor, and the partial agonist activity prevents binding of nicotine to these receptors. So the binding's lower than the binding of nicotine, but it does work quite well. How well does it work for tobacco? Well, just for tobacco, when we look at varenicline-treated participants versus placebo, those on varenicline achieve higher rates of abstinence from tobacco with an odds ratio of 3.61, which is quite high, versus other ways we treat tobacco use disorder, say the nicotine patch, which has an odds ratio of 1.68 versus placebo, so still better, and bupropion, which has an odds ratio of 1.75. So that's just a gentle reminder that varenicline is a very effective medication for tobacco withdrawal and cravings. It is superior to both bupropion and nicotine patch. But the interest of this topic today is, why is it helpful for other substances? But before we talk about that, why don't you tell us a little bit about the pharmacokinetics of the drug itself?
This can also help us to try to understand how it works. So it meets that maximum plasma concentration typically within 3 to 4 hours. Its half-life is usually around 24 hours, and that's why it requires daily dosing. It's primarily eliminated through the kidneys. It doesn't typically require dose adjustments with any kind of renal disease. So a couple of things, and this is important when we're looking at some of the studies that we're talking about. We're pretty familiar with most of the adverse side effects. Most common that you're familiar with is nausea. That's about 29%, and that's typically pretty mild. And in these studies, we didn't really see a significant dropout rate. Then there is some of the insomnia, and that's what you just talked about with that acetylcholine receptor binding. It's where that's typically associated. It affects that REM sleep. Then we're familiar with the vivid dreams and headaches. The most important thing, and I think this is important to note, is the neuropsychiatric effects. This has been highly disputed, and this is the number one reason. And I should say this is the number one resistance that we get when we discuss this with patients, is the mood changes. And this has been disputed in the literature and in the studies. And what the latest studies still show is that you see higher neuropsychiatric effects in the bupropion groups in both psychiatric and non-psychiatric patients. I think that was really interesting to note. And it was also interesting, even in your nicotine replacement groups, you also saw higher rates of neuropsychiatric symptoms. So I would not be concerned as we were initially about those effects. It does not mean don't monitor your patients and make individual decision making, but I wouldn't put this to the side for that reason alone. That's just a little bit about the pharmacology and pharmacokinetics. But yeah, I think that's a great introduction and reminder. So now, talking about some of these novel uses, and we'll get a little bit more into why, because I think we're both interested. And a lot of these studies we reviewed first, they really did not go, the mechanism of why it's effective, they don't know directly. A lot of it comes down to just, again, that effect on that dopaminergic pathway that you talked about. And we know that is very broad in the addicted mind. And so that's where most of their theories are coming from, is when we have this partial agonist effect, how much can it kind of cross over and help with these other substances? And so that's kind of that theory. But other than that, there hasn't been any more theories into why, and I know that's still being researched. So talking about alcohol, let's talk about alcohol and varenicline first and see. Like, was the most recent study that just came out, so this was the efficacy of varenicline in the treatment of alcohol dependence, and this was an updated meta-analysis and meta-regression. And this just came out in February of 2023 in the International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health. And this was a little bit different from the other studies that you're talking about, Paula, but they showed with their meta-analysis that they showed reduction in cravings, but also a reduction in heavy drinking days, drinks per day, and the craving and percentage of abstinent days, along with the reduction in cravings. There were some limitations, and so most of the trials still were conducted with a small number of participants, and their duration was still short. And this study included various population characteristics and intervention periods. So they were not all uniform, but I don't know if that's necessarily a limitation. Most of the selected trials, they did not report underlying diseases and what other medications were being used. I think that's really key, because obviously you can have, if you're using other medications, then you can see if that's making a difference in your reduction in your drinking days. Abstinence days and the percentage of drinking days were pooled from just two of the studies. And they can't really make really strong conclusions from that. So you do need to be cautious. And, you know, even the author recommend that this does need to be replicated to validate these findings. But I do think it is interesting that we've got several studies that do show consistently a reduction in cravings, which sometimes is a difficult symptom to treat. Or tell us about some of the other studies.
All right. Well, there is a study that was published in the Journal of Clinical Psychiatry in February of 2020 called The Impact of Varenicline on Alcohol Consumption in Subjects with Alcohol Use Disorders, Systematic Review and Meta-Analysis. Chief author is Gandhi. And this was a review article looking at studies that identified by literature search, basically looking at 197 articles and identifying 10 studies with an N of 731 subjects who were included in the systematic review. And then during a meta-analysis, evaluating whether there was a difference in heavy drinking days, number of drinks per drinking day, percentage of days abstinent, and cravings when people were using varenicline. And what they found was there was no difference in percentage of heavy drinking days, drinks per day, percentage of days abstinent with varenicline use. And they said that the risk of bias for this review was actually quite low. However, there was a statistically significant decrease in craving when varenicline was used. So that is a little bit contrary to the review article that you just discussed, but this is kind of what we're finding with this topic, is there are some studies in favor, there are some, you know, research articles that are not positive. But your study, obviously being published more recently, this is from 2020, so hopefully the article you just referenced in 2023 is more accurate and is a little bit more hopeful. Nonetheless, both of them do report improvement in cravings when people use varenicline. And the way I've been thinking about this for clinical utilization, Darlene, is like most of my patients with alcohol use disorder use nicotine.
Yes.
And so when I'm thinking about this data and I'm thinking, wow, the data is not very strong, and is it really going to help reduce drinking days or heavy drinking or number of drinks? The studies do seem to agree that it reduces cravings, and we know that it's highly efficacious for stopping nicotine. So it seems like it would be a good choice for most people, especially since the adverse effects are maybe even less in some ways than medication like bupropion.
Well, and you bring up such an interesting point about this coupling effect. And we researched this and could not find any studies that specifically addressed that association between those two behaviors, because they are quite common, even more than any other substance that is between the smoking and alcohol to combine together. So when you address one effectively, is that part of why when you would see a decrease? I mean, it's an interesting idea, but I just don't see that it. We just aren't finding the studies. It doesn't mean they're not out there. We just couldn't find them.
Yeah, I mean, so I think it's interesting because the opposite is definitely true. Like, we see increased tobacco use when people quit drinking or quit any drug. Right. I mean, I think globally we see people pick up smoking much more, or nicotine use as a coping. And this is why so it's interesting. And it's maybe a strategy to include varenicline in your treatment plan for patients with alcohol use disorder, regardless of their desire to quit tobacco or nicotine completely, because the likelihood of them increasing their nicotine use is quite high. Now, I haven't researched exactly how much people increase their use, but I know from working in residential settings, working in older settings, in detox, inpatient, medically managed withdrawal settings, man, people really, really crave nicotine when they have to stop alcohol or other drugs. So it might not be a bad idea to start varenicline anyway, if they tolerate it and give consent to it, to see if it, one, helps alcohol craving, and two, reduces the added effect of increase. Anyway, that's just a thought.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there was one, I just wanted to mention this. This is a little bit older study, but in 2016, the Journal of Addiction Medicine published a study regarding a little bit about the dosing on varenicline. It talked about lower doses may not actually be as effective And so sometimes they even looked at doses higher than our standard, the two milligrams a day. So even looking at 3 milligrams a day to have an effect for alcohol use disorder. And not a lot of studies looked at that. And so that may be another avenue as well. So that was a little bit interesting too, that sometimes is it again a dose effect, because some patients also don't get, because of sometimes side effects or also the start and stop, they never get up to the therapeutic dose. And so that's, and these studies, and that was some of the limitations, is these studies were not carried out very long. And so did they not get up to some of these therapeutic doses. Mm. So that was just an interesting note there. And then the last is, these were both negative studies. You know, when we look at varenicline for the treatment of stimulant use disorders, this has been, we don't, again, have FDA approved drugs for stimulant use disorders. And so really multiple things being tried. And one that people have asked about, and the studies, unfortunately, haven't been very favorable. Just highlighting them.
There's a study that was published in Drug and Alcohol Dependence in August of 2018 called Varenicline Treatment for Methamphetamine Dependence, a randomized double-blind phase 2 clinical trial, lead author Briones. And the hypothesis was that varenicline, because of its dopaminergic action, on nicotinic cholinergic receptors, may be effective in treating methamphetamine use disorder. And I mean, it's interesting because you'd think, or I guess it's because the cholinergic system is so systemic and it's all mediated by dopamine, like we said at the very beginning. So I think they were hopeful that this might be effective. However, the study used a 1 milligram BID, which is a standard dose of varenicline for tobacco use disorder treatment. And they were hoping that that would reduce methamphetamine compared to placebo in a blinded, randomized double-blinded study. And what they found is that this was not effective. So there was no change in methamphetamine use amongst treatment-seeking methamphetamine use volunteers. And again, like, this was people who had volunteered for the study but didn't know which group they were in. So that did not show any efficacy for this group of people, unfortunately.
And then there was one for cocaine use. And so this was varenicline for the treatment of cocaine dependence. And this came also in the Journal of Addiction Medicine. And this was just 2 years ago in March of 2022. Lead author was Lynch. And this was a 12-week double-blind placebo-controlled clinical trial. And this was 156 subjects, and they were given 2 milligrams of varenicline or a placebo, and also combined with therapy. The primary outcome measure was cocaine use measured by thrice weekly urine drug screens. So looked at the end of the study is cocaine abstinence, cocaine craving, and cocaine withdrawal. And unfortunately, at the end of the study, there was not a difference between groups. So between the varenicline-treated groups and the placebo-treated groups. So it was no significant difference between either in cravings or cocaine withdrawal severity and the placebo group. So it doesn't, where the preliminary studies at this time are not showing. Now, the other thing is, length of time, it was, some of these again are still sometimes shorter studies. Would we see any difference or size again? But I think those are just interesting to note. Any other thoughts on that, Paula?
Nope.
Okay. But I do think it's interesting. And I think the mechanism of action of varenicline, and we love partial agonists. I think they're such fascinating molecules. And so I think, yeah, it is something to watch. I do think we need more of these in the addiction treatment world. So thank you. Have a good night.
Good night.
Until next time. Hey, check us out at theaddictionfiles.com or email us at theaddictionfiles@gmail.com. Thank you so much to Ricky Valades for use of his song Awake. Check him out at rickyvalades.com.
Education purposes only. Hosts and guests are not responsible for any harm caused by information obtained from this source. As each person is unique, you're advised to seek the advice of your own healthcare professional to treat any medical conditions you may be having. Opinions expressed on the show are those of the Addiction Files and not of our respective employers.